The following podcast contains some adult themes and situations. It is not safe for work. If you happen to be listening on a listening device, I suggest breaking out them headphones, putting them in your ears right now, because, it's gonna happen.
All right. Hold up. Who here just saw some titties? Raise your hand if you just saw some titties. Thank you. So everybody just calm the fuck down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt, and much like my man Method Man just said, who here just saw some titties? I think we all just did on TNA Impact. Brooke Hogan had a wardrobe malfunction, and that was my mature way of dealing with it as I watched it last night. Also, Taz is apparently evil and a part of Aces and Eights. We're going to get into all of that on today's show. But first, got to take care of business. We're on the all-access side, and that means it's time to plug. And I want to plug the ProWrestling.net members site, coincidentally. I know that will shock and amaze all of you. ProWrestling.net membership side of things, guys, for... you know, a fairly low price. We're talking about, if you take the annual option, $5.50 a month. If you take the six-month option, I think it's around $6 or something a month. And if you just want to try it out for a month, $7.50 for a month. We're talking about the best wrestling website out there. You get it ad-free. You get access to the members forum where you can correspond with not only the other .NET members, great group of folk. You can also correspond with Jason Powell, Chris Shore, myself. I know Jason Powell, myself, and some of the members were going back and forth about the TNA Impact episode last night, and there's always a fun bit of snark and your enjoyable comments in there as you watch a wrestling show. I strongly suggest, if you do join the forum, becoming part of our kind of live commenting extravaganza that happens. Also, you get access to ProWrestling.net members' audio. Shows like this for Raw, SmackDown, and Impact, plus every pay-per-view, you get Jason Powell, and for WWE shows, Jason Powell and Chris Shore sitting down, talking about the show, going through it match by match. That's always a fun aspect of things, something I wait for on Monday mornings after pay-per-views to listen to. I say Monday mornings after pay-per-views because I have to finish writing my pods. They go up, actually, on Sunday nights, about an hour, hour and a half after the show, depending on how long they record for. And you get the .NET Weekly Audio Show, the flagship of ProWrestling.net, that has Jason Powell and Chris Shore going through the news of the week, often breaking first-run news. You get Jason Powell's Q&A. You get the .NET Countdown Show. You get so many interviews just that are a part of our archives with guys like Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, Shane Hurricane Helms, so many wrestlers. Sean Daivari have sat down with Jason and talked about just their lives, their careers, what's going on with them now, current projects, all of that. And that's always some fun stuff to go back and listen to as well. I'm trying to think. I think I've just about covered it. ProWrestling.net. If you want to sign up, go click that membership link on the right-hand side of the page, and in just a few moments, you can be basking in the glow that is ProWrestling.net membership. So let's get into Impact real quick, and I want to talk seriously about the wedding segment real quick. And what happened during it, Taz stands, the priest is about to pronounce them husband and wife, and it's going to be this beautiful moment, and Taz gets up. And, ask Bully, do you really want to do this? I mean, do you really, really want to do this? And he says, yes. Yes, I do. And then Taz says, well, I've got another question for you. Is it hot in here to anybody else? Takes off his jacket, and he has a leather vest on underneath. And it's an Aces and Eights vest. And Taz is revealed as a member of Aces and Eights. The biker gang then rushes the ring. And in what was actually a pretty cool scene, just out of nowhere, the ring fills up with probably 10, 12 Aces and Eights members. A lot of prospects. I saw the guy that wrestles in the red flannel shirt. It looked like they had a lot of their, the local indie guys who aren't really going to be part of the group but are added to the group to make numbers. It looked like they had a lot of them in there. But it was a pretty cool scene, actually, to take Impact off the air and to kind of make it a major event. It looked neat. Then we got Brooke Hogan being held back by Doc and Mike Knox and crying as she saw what was happening. Bully was stood up and hit in the head with, like, the stone pillar that was in the ring. I think we're supposed to believe it was stone. I'm going with stone, because that's the most vicious thing you can hit someone with, is a pillar of stone. But yeah, so Bully Ray was hit with that, and Brooke was crying and crying, and she did an okay job of acting there. But again, you know, the main thing here was the Taz reveal and the beating that incurred, the all of the men incurred afterwards. And then you got, you know, Hulk was in there too, and Hulk was beat down and hit. Then you got Brooke, you know, kind of getting let go, and she's holding her top on, or she's holding her boobs kind of in her hands. Her top has slipped down, and she walks over to her dad, and this was honestly an only in TNA moment, and this was one of those ones where I just, you know, shook my head and was like, guys, the production team needs to get their ish together, because she walks over to her dad, and she shouldn't be on camera right now anyways. You should be like, yo, we're, you know, focus on someone else, focus on something on the other side of the ring, let's get you know, PA, let's get someone, even just the cameraman and his cable pager right there, because that's who you've got on a headset right now. Let's get them over to Brooke. Get that dress pulled up and, you know, tell her to keep going. No, she just, the camera focuses right on her. She walks over to her dad and, Dad, what's going on? Really loud. And then you hear her go, very audibly on camera, but still in a quieter voice, Dad, my boob's out. Dad, my boob's out. And he, Hulk Hogan, like Han freaking Solo in that joint, just goes, I know. Like, boom, deadpan. Yeah, Brooke, I see it. It's right in my face, actually, and I lost it. That was the moment of the show to me. And I know someone's listening going, you're being unfair to TNA. I'm sorry, but Dad, my boob's out might be the best wrestling quote of, like, the last decade. You know, you can talk about your John 316 and your Austin 316s and all that, but Dad, my boob's out might be the winner. We're going to have a quote off at some point. But really, the swerve was well done. Like, I'm of a few minds about this. For one, I don't see what Taz adds to Aces and Eights. A mouthpiece? Do they need a mouthpiece? Like, are they going to reveal that Taz has been the VP? Because the weird thing about that is that Taz isn't a wrestler. Taz isn't going to get in the ring. And if you're going to make him one of the leaders of Aces and Eights, that, you know, now you've got Taz and his non-wrestlers versus Hulk Hogan or in his wrestlers versus Hulk Hogan and his wrestlers. And I just don't know that that's a feud I want to invest in. For real. Like, that's where it comes down for me, is that Taz isn't a wrestler. He's not going to get in the ring. We're never going to see Taz really get his. So why would I invest in this when, you know, I just don't see the reasoning behind it. Not that I need to see the reasoning behind everything to invest in it, but it's a situation there. So that's my first kind of, my first mental block that's going on here. But secondly, the Taz reveal was good, but where does it leave us? Do we have an Aces and Eights commentator now? Like, cool. He's all about the cause of Aces and Eights on commentary. That's, you know, maybe that'll be interesting, but I don't see it really helping anything. That's the thing is, I look and I go, going forward, how does this change my perception of Aces and Eights? How does it make them seem like more of a threat after they've been so broken down and belittled? And I don't see it. Like, and I could be wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe with Taz joining, he brings someone with him that makes Aces and Eights seem tougher. I don't know. I just don't see what Taz adds to Aces and Eights. Like, I see that Taz as a part of it could be fun in moments, but I don't see what Taz brings as a total package to Aces and Eights that makes it seem better. And I think that if you're going to add to a faction in such a spectacular way, as TNA did here, they need to do something that makes the faction seem better in doing so. And I don't see that as having happened. And, you know, that's not to say that this can't be good. Again, I want to give it a chance. I want to watch next week with an open mind about Taz and everything else. But, you know, what's a casual fan thinking that, you know, probably doesn't know Taz's history as a wrestler all that well? Oh, that color commentator from SmackDown joined Aces and Eights. If I'm not mistaken, you know, that's basically what it is it's the color commentator from SmackDown and then Impact joining Aces and Eights. Taz is a decent color commentator when he tries. You know, he can be pretty good, but I don't know, you know, unless this is just something that really brings out life in him, something that brings out something that we haven't seen from Taz in a long, long time, and that's passion. I don't know that it's really worth doing, but that really is the main point I'm making here. So let's now get into the rest of the show here. Impact opened with the video package, you know, just the standard guy going through the Previously on Impact stuff. One of the interesting bits about this Previously on Impact video package, it focused really, really heavily on all of the drama with Kurt Angle and Mr. Anderson and Samoa Joe and that whole situation, and they weren't even on the show tonight. Like, there was nothing there with them. It focused on them, you know, and I thought this was a poor use of that video package where, And I go back to, you know, the shows that do this a lot, and Lost was really good with it. Gilmore Girls did it. Yes, I'm a Gilmore Girls fan. By the way, if you're a Gilmore Girls fan, because I've discovered a few, the show Bunheads on ABC Family. Excellent. Same creator. I get it, guys. Here's my man card. Y'all can have it. Where was I? Oh, the Previously on video package. It focused so much on that story when that story wasn't even a focus tonight. I found that pretty strange because I get the feeling that those packages are meant to kind of turn your head to where the show is going. And what that package did was just kind of say, oh yeah, and this story exists too, but we're not going to say a word about it tonight or really do anything about it or focus on it because tonight's not about that. It was weird. But we then saw the Impact Zone and we saw, like, on the side of the entrance ramp, the hard camera side, or the opposite of, you know, where hard camera faces, the side that hard camera's actually on, we saw that they took out that first little row of seating next to the ramp, and it was decked out with presents and cake and all sorts of wedding-ish things, and, you know, the red rope was around it, I think, to keep wrestlers from wrecking any of it. Oh, major disappointment alert. No one's face got smashed in cake. That was disappointing for me. And then we, or before or after they showed the Impact Zone. Oh, no, it was after. They showed the wedding parties kind of preparing. And they showed Bully Ray first, and his wedding party was Taz, who was on commentary. His wedding party was Taz, Tommy Dreamer, and Spike Dudley. And that was a kind of cool thing to see Dreamer and Dudley. And Spike, Brother Runt, and TNA back. Dreamer's been getting around lately, but I thought that was a really a cool feature that TNA did to put them in there. Then they showed the Bridesmaids, and the Bridesmaids were TNA knockouts. This was something that I thought was odd, too. Man, Brooke, she's technically the boss of the knockouts, correct? Like, she is the, you know, she's in charge of them. How weird would it be if your boss came up to you and was like, hey, I want you to be in my wedding. Like, you can't really say no. Hey, my wedding's on the show that I'm in charge of you on anyway, so put on this dress. Let's go. Oh, okay, boss. It's awkward. I don't really approve of your union. I mean, what can you say to even get out of that? So that, you know, I'm being facetious about this being weird. But it was a little bit of a strange thing, definitely. And then we got Jeff Hardy coming out. And Jeff Hardy was celebrating his big victory at Genesis, and the Impact Zone crowd decided to chant, "You've still got it." Dear Impact Zone crowd, please reserve that chant for wrestlers who people doubt still have it. Like, no one's sitting there going, "Can Jeff Hardy still get it done?" maybe when he first came back from, you know, his drug issues and all of that, and going to prison, that's the time when you chant, "You still got it." But now it's like, yeah, Jeff Hardy's the world champion. No one's really doubting that he still has it. Well, why are you chanting? It's like, I don't know. They've got the wrong, like, chant flash card for what they were supposed to chant then. Or, you know, someone started it and they kept it going. If I were Jeff Hardy, I would have smashed that right away and hoped that they came back with another chant a little bit later. But a little "We're Your Creatures" chant broke out later in the show, or later in the night as well. But Hardy, you know, kind of was just like, "Hey, I won. I'm still world champion. I'm great. We had a great match at Genesis, but I came out on top." I don't mind wrestlers after the fact, by the way, saying that a match was good. It's the same thing where you get NFL players a lot of times going, "Man, that was a hell of a game. We won. That was a hell of a game, though. They brought it." That doesn't bother me. In fact, I think it can help things. It's when a wrestler before says, "Yeah, that was a great match," or "That's going to be a great match." It's kind of weird, as opposed to a wrestler going, "You know, as a fan, this is a match that I would want to see, so I'm excited to compete in it." I think that making that statement's a little bit better. But we got Jeff Hardy kind of complimenting his match at Genesis, and then we heard we got Christopher Daniels and Kazarian coming out. Bad influence. Remember, Christopher Daniels won the number one contenders match at Genesis to get a shot at Jeff Hardy and his world championship next week on Impact. And here's something about Daniels that I think, and this one's going to get a little crazy, guys. Bear with me. I think Daniels is the perfect opponent for Jeff Hardy at Lockdown. I said this on in my Pruitt's Pause on Impact, and I also said it in my one-shots this week when I wrote him. Jeff Hardy is a guy that's good enough to be that number one contender through Lockdown. And the reason I believe that, the reason I say that is, look at the rest of the roster. Look at that heel roster. Who's the top heel right now? Assuming, and we'll get into this later, but it looks like Bobby Roode and Austin Aries are moving into the tag team division of all places to feud with Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. So who do you have? Well, what, you know, if TNA is looking at their assets, what do they have there? Well, they've got the really, really great guy in Christopher Daniels. They've got Kazarian, who is doing some great work as kind of a sidekick. And yeah, basically, it has to be him almost. Who else is the top heel in that company that hasn't been worn out as far as, you know, as far as the, you know, a feud with Jeff Hardy goes? D-Von isn't really a top-level heel, no matter what you do with him. He's the top heel in Aces and Eights, so I think that kind of crosses Aces and Eights guys off the roster. Mr. Anderson, he's a tweener right now. Maybe you get him into that role, but does Hardy versus Anderson really interest people enough for Lockdown? I think you go down that roster, and it starts to become more and more apparent. Daniels is that guy. Daniels can definitely be that guy going into Lockdown to face Jeff Hardy, and that's exciting to me. That's somewhere, you know, that's TNA kind of creating an interesting heel star. And I'm not saying you have Daniels even win the title from Jeff Hardy. The way you can do this, at least in my head, this is, you know, this is the story that I've mentally been like, okay, this is how they get there. You got Daniels and Hardy. Hardy beats Daniels next week. I'm not saying you put the belt on Christopher Daniels. You can talk about it. I think TNA should definitely talk about it. And, you know, that's, does creative have the right stories going forward to market that is the big thing. Maybe you put the belt on Daniels somehow in that cage match, and then at Slammiversary, Hardy gets his title back, and it's another big win for, you know, victorious hero Jeff Hardy. That's show, if they want to go there. But I'm not saying, you know, you make Daniels the guy, but I'm saying you make him the heel right now. And making him the heel, you have him, you know, lose next week. Maybe things go wrong with some Kazarian interference. Maybe Jeff Hardy just overcomes, beats him. Then you have Daniels complain about it for a couple weeks. You know, complain that Jeff Hardy cheated. Jeff Hardy's face paint was slippery. Like, I seriously think you say Jeff Hardy's face paint was slippery. That's a freebie, TNA. slippery face paint and that it was unfair. So then you have Daniels challenge him to a non-title match. I want to prove I can beat you. He cheats to win it somehow with Kazarian's help. So, you know, Hulk Hogan says, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you a title shot at a lockdown. You're going to be in the main event with Jeff Hardy. But it's a cage match. So, Chris, you know, Kazarian can't get in. He can't help you there. And then you just go on building it up. You know, we're going to have a cage match. You do that basic build. You've already had a match together. You know, maybe you have two on Impact. You don't have to worry about giving away too much before you get to pay-per-view now. So you can kind of play hard, you know, kind of play a little loose with that to build up the feud, and you make that feud pretty intense. That's just kind of my overall, my proposal for TNA right now. The idea that they could go with to get Christopher Daniels into the main event at Lockdown, and I think it's probably the best Lockdown main event they've got. You know, short of putting Jeff Hardy in the Lethal Lockdown match, you know, short of kind of reallocating him to what I assume is the Aces and Eights storyline's big match with Lethal Lockdown, I think that's the next best thing you can, you know, that's probably the next best thing you can do with Hardy, but I think people would enjoy a Hardy versus Daniels match. I really do. Let us move on now to this next segment, so Daniels and Kazarian come out, and they run down Jeff Hardy. You know, they're going to beat him, or, you know, Daniels is going to beat him and take that title. They're going to take all the titles in TNA, all of that. And they then start beating up Jeff Hardy. Well, James Storm runs down for the save, and Daniels and Kazarian run away. James Storm says, no, we're going to have a match right now, tag team match, Storm and Hardy versus Daniels and Kazarian. And honestly, guys, James Storm is basically a sidekick right now. Like, he's not much more than that. He doesn't warrant much more thought than that, which is a little depressing considering what James Storm could have been going into this year. As, you know, the guy who, you know, should have won the Bound for Glory series, probably should have faced Bobby Roode for the world title and won it at Bound for Glory, competing this epic, awesome one-year quest. And instead, he is kind of just a sidekick. But so it's Storm and Hardy versus Bad Influence Daniels and Kazarian. Storm and Hardy end up winning the match. But after the match, Daniels comes up, hits Jeff Hardy with the Angel's Wings. And then I can't think of a better way to describe it, but it's what Eve does. Takes the title and poses over Jeff Hardy, kind of lays on him with the title. And I'm not saying he was copying Eve here. I'm not going to be that dumb about it, because maybe this was just the idea. He may have never even seen Eve do that. But it was Eve-esque, what he did. And that was kind of that segment, and that was the build to the world title match next week. Like, that was as much world title as we got on this show. And it, again, kind of continued the slightly troubling theme of Aces and Eights and Hulk Hogan and Bully Ray being the main event and the world title being not the main event. Not the main event at all. And I think TNA is doing themselves a true, true disservice here with that. Especially when you do have Jeff Hardy, who is a great, you know, maybe not the best centerpiece in the world, but especially if you're going to pair him with a good talker for a little while, a fine centerpiece guy like Jeff Hardy, kind of being wasted right now as just, you know, as your world champion. And people shouldn't be wasted as world champion. And I don't mean wasted in, like, the Drizunk way. I mean wasted as far as their talents being wasted. So then we saw the gut check judges debating. I hate this segment. On a weekly or on a monthly basis, I hate the segment where the gut check judges debate, because it's like, they go, oh, well, they showed charisma in their match. You know, it's almost like they're debating the attributes on a created wrestler on a video game, is how it comes off. You know, well, you know what? They showed some pants. They showed some charisma. They showed, they showed this or that. They showed nothing to me. Like, you know, that's what they're saying. And the judges really, I think, where originally it was, hey, we're going to take you behind the scenes of how talent is actually evaluated in wrestling. I strongly doubt that that's how talent is evaluated in wrestling. I don't think anyone is sitting there evaluating talent by going, they showed you know, they showed some charisma. They might go, you know what? They had something about them when they got to the ring. There was a charisma there. But it's not just so as cut and dry and as they say it is. And it's, I don't know. This part of the gut check is really broken. And I thought that they fixed some stuff about the match. But the next week of the gut check is a broken segment. It's a broken, you know, it's a broken concept to me. And it's something that TNA really needs to look at and fix, because I think gut check can be this appealing part of their TV show. I really do. But they just aren't, they're not paying attention to the spots of it that don't work. So we go on and we see Joseph Park backstage congratulating Bully Ray, giving him a box of cigars and saying, hey, these are Cubans, man. I had a friend kind of get them here. So don't tell anyone, you know, K-Fab, which made me smile. Joseph Park, anytime he says K-Fab is a winner to me. So, you know, you can imagine how much I'm enjoying this, how much I enjoyed this. I'm sorry, guys. I love the Joseph Park stuff. I don't even want to say it's a guilty pleasure. I don't feel bad. It's entertaining. It's TNA doing just something to entertain people, I think, that is really, really catching on and is really strong. And then we had the gut check judges in the ring. The gut check guys came out. And almost instantly, they eliminated Brian Cage. They were just like, Brian Cage, sorry, not your time. We'll see you later. And then they went into the standard gut check judging process with Jay Bradley, with Taz saying no first. Bradley cutting a decent but not great promo for his kickout. Like, it just seemed, and this is an issue with a lot of the gut check promos, is they seem really pro wrestler-y in like the stereotypical bad way, where it's like a wrestling promo. You know, like the wrestling promo you see people make fun of that don't watch wrestling, where it's like, and I'm gonna get you, and when I do, I'm gonna put you in my headlock. Where people think all wrestlers are like that. I think that the gut check promos sometimes come off that way. And that's not positive. But we got Jay Bradley kind of cutting a very wrestler-y promo. And then the other two judges voting yes, Jay Bradley makes it in with the gut check. So here's what I didn't like about this. I thought that to me, when they brought in two guys, I said, this is great, because what this does to the judging portion of gut check is it completely changes what it is. Now it's saying it's the judges voting for which guy they think gets a contract. It's the judges saying, okay, you get one, you don't. Or which guy they think should. And I thought that the first thing they should do is have each guy cut a promo saying why they deserve it over the other guy. You know, you have Jay Bradley come in, just go, hey, man, I won the match. You have Brian Cage come in and go, you know what? I didn't win the match. I slipped up. But I think if you look at that match, you can see I'm the better talent. I am the more skilled wrestler. I'm stronger. I'm faster. I'm better. You can have these guys debate each other and create the idea of gut check is to create this real human reality TV drama. And you can do that with gut check. By having them kind of debate each other and the judges look on and kind of judge their statements there. Instead, it was, well, guys, you're out, and now we're going to do the regular gut check. And the regular gut check isn't good. So that was my main issue here. Jay Bradley's fine. I think TNA might be missing the boat with Brian Cage, and that I've seen Brian Cage have some phenomenal matches. This past weekend, I saw him have an amazing match teaming with Unbreakable Michael Elgin against the Young Bucks. Man, I think either wrestling company, big wrestling company right now, needs to sign Brian Cage. You know, you put him in developmental for a while. You let him learn the craft. You let him learn the style. But then you turn him loose. You know, you turn him loose on your fans and see if he's a guy that's going to get over and be a star for the next 10 years, because I really think that he is. I think he's that good. So we had the gut check judging. Then we had Christian York making his entrance. Kenny King is next, and they recap their match and the story with Kenny King at Genesis. And this was a 2-minute match, or 3-minute match, Christian York versus Kenny King. That was pretty bad. It was not a good match at all. They just didn't find their rhythm. They didn't have the chemistry. Chris Shore said it really well in that he basically said, you know, there was something off. They didn't have a rhythm here. they had a really pretty good 10-minute match at Genesis, so it's not like these guys can't wrestle or wrestle together. This was just odd. But King and York had a match. Kenny King won it with a handful of tights and a roll-up. And the good thing about Kenny King winning it that way is, you know, it kind of keeps Kenny King alive. And TNA is doing a good job right now establishing the Kenny King and Christian York characters in this feud with each other and with Rob Van Dam involved, where they're kind of saying, okay, these are three guys we want to establish in the X Division. RVD's already got his personality. Now let's talk about King and York. Let's get them going personality-wise and so on and so forth. So TNA is doing a really nice job of that. I've got to compliment them on the X Division, even though this really wasn't a good match. Then we got Bully Ray talking to Sting, begging Sting to go talk to Hogan. Because the only way Brooke would be happy is if Hogan walked her down the aisle. You know, kind of basic. I like the relationship right now between Sting and Bully Ray. I liked it at Bound for Glory. I just think it's a really fun thing. I like, you know, and that's to say, I don't dislike Bully Ray as a babyface all that much. You know, I don't think it's the best use of him, but I also don't think it's the worst. Bully Ray is not, like, the world's worst babyface, this guy that I really think needs to be healed for reasons X, Y, and Z, aside from just, man, where he's good as a babyface, he's downright brilliant as a heel. And I think when you have a guy that is that good at what he does, it would be like if The Rock came back and they said, hey, you're a really good babyface, the crowd gets into you, we want to push you as a technical heel. We want to kind of give you that Chris Benoit and 2000 push instead of, you know, a good Rock push. And he would be like, I will see you guys on the other side of WrestleMania then. Bye. And take off, because that's not who he is. And I don't think they're pushing Bully Ray to his maximum potential right now. So we had then we had Taz leaving the announce table. See ya. To go and do wedding things. And then we saw Austin Aries backstage kind of getting dressed, trying to think of what shirt to wear. Bobby Roode came in and was like, you still getting dressed, man? And Austin Aries was like, yeah, I'm still getting dressed, man. And they continued to bicker and do their thing. But they made sure that people knew they are showing up as a part of the wedding tonight. So, you know, Roode and Aries, again, I don't think that they're terrible at comedy together. But I think using them to do comedy together is a terrible use of their skills. That's, you know, that's kind of the odd fine line there, is that it's like they're not bad at this. They're bad. Using this with them is a bad choice for these two guys, especially where TNA and their roster is right now. And kind of, you know, again, I think it's misjudging what they have in these two as heels. You know, you look at three really great heels in Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and Bully Ray. One is not a heel right now, and the other two are the Keystone Cops. They're not a threat. They're not guys that you think can really do much of anything in that company, and that's kind of sad. Then we saw Hulk Hogan arriving backstage, and he was asked, are you going to walk Brooke down the aisle? And Hogan told the cameraman to find something else to do. Kind of weird. But okay, maybe he'll, you know, go ask someone else some questions, right? So Taz then joined the rest of the guys backstage, a Dreamer and Spike Dudley. And Taz asked Bully Ray about Hulk Hogan. Ray said Brooke was a wreck, and they both wanted Hulk to be there. Ray then left to put his tux on, and we saw a video kind of recapping the wedding storyline. So they're resetting the top of the second hour with the wedding storyline here. And then we got Sting coming out to call out Hulk Hogan. And this was, as much as I like Sting and Bully Ray together, Sting and Hulk Hogan together is still kind of weird for me. And this segment was kind of weird for me, where it was Sting saying, you should walk her down the aisle, and Sting and Hulk basically saying no. Or saying, not outright saying no, but he told Sting that he always did the right thing. And that was it. Hulk trying to defend why he doesn't like or trust Bully Ray. Sting really trying to get Hulk to walk his daughter down the aisle. I don't like that Hulk Hogan was the number one star on this show. Like, that's what I keep going back to with Impact is I don't like the fact that, you know, they've got Jeff Hardy there. They've got the best merchandise, you know, this great merchandise seller in the company there. And this guy that is just, he can light the world on fire as a talent. I think we saw Genesis some of a sample of what Jeff Hardy's capable of as far as his talent, and he's amazing. Like, Jeff Hardy is stunning. Like, damn, Jeff Hardy's good. And we saw that at Genesis just with the way he plays babyface in peril so dang well. Well, what do we have? We have Hulk Hogan kind of bigfooting Hardy out of his position. Backstage, Gail Kim showed Taryn Terrell a video of Gail Kim's foot under the ropes, and I really wanted Taryn Terrell to come back and go, yeah, you know, I reviewed that tape too. Here's all the times you got away with something that I didn't see. But instead, Terrell was just like, yeah, well, you got a rematch tonight, and Terrell said she was going to call it right down the middle. What's the point of Taryn Terrell, guys? Aside from just adding some T and A to T in A in their knockouts matches, I don't know what Taryn Terrell does. That's, you know, again, sometimes I feel like I'm a little overcritical and I examine things too much, and this may be one of those times. But basically, this was Gail Kim and Velvet Sky in a number one contenders match for the Knockouts Championship. And Gail, it was a decent women's match. Like, I didn't mind it at all. Gail hit the Eat Defeat at one point. Velvet put her leg under the rope, and Taryn Terrell caught it, so that was kind of the payback there. And then Velvet Sky kind of hit her babyface comeback, hit a face buster thing, and then hit another one for the three count. Velvet Sky is the number one contender for the Knockouts Championship, but that was not the story of Velvet Sky here. The story of Velvet Sky is that she looked like a 50-year-old woman in a body sock. Who in the heck did Velvet Sky's hair? Like, it was like curly and off to one side and weird colored to where it almost looked gray and just really, really, really poorly done. Like, she looked bad. And I'm not, again, guys, not trying to be mean here to Velvet Sky or call her ugly. She's anything but ugly. But, man, she looked really bad on this show. And you almost go, who let her go out like that? Like, who said, Velvet, you look so pretty. Let's put you on TV in a wrestling match. That was weird. But yeah, 50-year-old woman in a body sock beat Gail Kim to become the number one contenders for the Knockouts, the number one contender for the Knockouts championship. And we saw Brooke Hogan and Dixie Carter together. And Dixie is, I guess, Brooke Hogan's mom. I'm going to go ahead and assume that Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter had sex. It's about 38 years ago to create Brooke, and that Brooke popped out of Dixie somehow. I don't know how it happened, guys, but that's what I'm going with. Dixie basically told Brooke, no matter what, your dad loves you. You gotta, you know, things happen. And then they hyped the wedding for next, which was also really weird because there were 40 minutes left in the show. And I was sitting at home going, man, this is gonna be long. Like, are they just gonna go through with an entire wedding and then have something occur at the reception? Is that, like, are we going through this whole long thing? Because they had an area set up where you could conceivably have a wedding reception at ringside. So, but yeah. Then we got a video about the end of the opening match and Bobby Roode and Austin Aries entering to make, and they, I guess, were interrupting the wedding, but the ring ropes were still up. So the wedding was not next because the wedding happened sans ring ropes. Austin Aries then said, the company was 10 years in the past when you looked at the champions, and they made fun of all the champions, but the champions that came out to refute this claim were the tag team champions, Hernandez and Chavo Guerrero. And Chavo said they object to, not to the wedding, but to Aries and Roode putting down the champions in the company. Oh yeah, Roode and Aries said they object very loudly. And Roode and Aries then made some racist jokes. They said, who has Mexican at the wedding reception, referred to them as the help. I actually went to a wedding recently where they had Mexican at the reception, and it was dang good, y'all. That was some dang good Mexican food. Dang good. I'm apparently, you know, I put the not safe for work warning at the beginning, and I just kind of ease off of it at the end. Yeah, really good Mexican food at that wedding. and referred to them as a help. And, you know, I started to get mad about this. I don't like a whole lot of racial humor in my wrestling. I think it's xenophobic. I think, in a way, it either exploits the crowd that you're making fun of. Like, it's going, well, if we... It's the same thing WWE is doing with Alberto Del Rio a little bit. If we make fun of Mexican people, the people that stand up for them are baby faces for Mexican people, and they'll cheer them. I think that's rude. I think that is being short-sighted and a little bit racist as far as what you're doing as a wrestling promotion. On the other side of things, it's also, oh, well, I also look at it and I go, can I really be mad? I mean, this is the wrestling company that pairs people together with Hernandez solely based on their race and makes the tag team, you know, the Latin American Exchange or Mexican America or... I don't know what Chavo and Hernandez's team name is, but I'm assuming it's probably something racist and inappropriate. So can I really be that upset when I look at these teams and I go, well, yeah, the only thing they have in common is race. That's all TNA sees about them is race. Kind of just an interesting situation to me, for sure, about these two teams and just kind of who they are. Then we saw a video recapping the end of, and about Rude and Aries in the tag team scene, I don't like it. I think you can put Rude and Aries in side feuds, and not together. I don't like pairing them together at all. But I think the way that TNA should operate is putting them together in side feuds in that world title upper tier of the main event. Not putting them together as a tag team. I think their star power outshines all of the other two tag teams in the division and hurts the division because of that. I think there are so many bigger and better things for Bobby Roode and Austin Aries that aren't the tag team titles and definitely aren't feuds with Chavo and Hernandez, who are, you know, the lower mid card at best. I just really didn't like that. Especially Roode and Aries, it kind of seems like, and Chris Shore pointed this out in his report, they're doing a bad imitation of Kaz and Daniels. Like, that's kind of the worst thing, is it's like, and the what they're doing as an act is an imitation of Taz and Daniels to me. And that's an issue. That's really not good. So, next up was our wedding. That's the next thing that happened here. And we got Brooke Hogan coming out or we got the presentation of, you know, the groom and the bridesmaids and groomsmen. And then we got Brooke Hogan coming out, stopping for a moment, kind of looking for her dad, looking behind her. No one came. And then Hulk Hogan came out of that weird side door that the commentators use on the Impact set and came, you know, walked up to Brooke and walked her down the aisle. Gave her away to Bully Ray, and, you know, it played out, like I said before, the wedding looked like it was about to go down without a hitch when Taz interrupted, and that was kind of the catalyst for this huge Aces and Eights beatdown. The beatdown was good. I want to put that out there, because I thought that the angle, let's say if you had Bully Ray do the turning, or Bully Ray and Brooke kind of turn and go now, and Aces and Eights ran out, and they kind of stood in the middle of all of this happening, and I thought that the angle was good. TNA, the physicality of it was really cool, actually. Like, the full-on beatdown was something neat. The message that it sent, maybe not so much. And that's, you know, I guess that's the big difference here, is that I just didn't really dig what they were doing as a group. I didn't really dig what was going on. So, you had Bully Ray and Brooke doing their thing, and then they get beat up. Brooke pops out, you know, who here just saw some titties, and all of that. That's really, guys, this is going to be remembered for Brooke Hogan's boobs. That's what this angle is going to be remembered for. TNA did an okay job with the beatdown. They, you know, found a way to pay off the wedding. I think, and I'm actually having this debate with a .NET contributor, staff member. I don't know what the hell our titles are here. I should put that out there. Zim right now. And he really liked the Taz reveal and thought it was really good. And he may get, and he has valid reasons. Like, he thinks that Taz is going to be a really good mouthpiece for Aces and Eights. And he's going to enhance them in a way that Devon and you know, Doc and Mike Knox can't, and I completely agree with that. Taz can be a really good mouthpiece. I think that Aces and Eights needs more than a good mouthpiece at this point. Like, they need to... Aces and Eights is in, like, faction rehab right now. And what they need isn't a mouth, isn't a guy cutting promos for them, even though, yeah, it would help. It really would. Like, that's gonna... That will assist them. That will make them better. And if Taz was just part of a grander plan, that's fine. But TNA needs a guy in that group that is a legitimate in-ring threat. Whether it's, you know, a revamped Mr. Anderson, who, by the way, would also be a decent mouthpiece for the group and can wrestle, that's fine. Well, Bully Ray, again, would have been a great leader, a great mouthpiece for the group, and can wrestle. There's so much, you know, I look at the long list of guys and I go, Taz, he fills the mouthpiece need, but he can't do anything in the ring. He's beat up. So you got a mouthpiece. You've totally got that guy. Now, where's the in-ring threat? Where's the guy that's going to be winning matches for them? Because remember, D-Bone's the only guy in Aces and Ace that, like, wins matches. Doc got beat up by Sting in 6 minutes on pay-per-view. You got 50-year-old, like, broken-down Sting. You know, you got a... Golly. Who else? There are so many wrestlers that it's just like, well, this guy got hurt by this. This guy is injured from that. You know, Mike Knox got beat by Sting last week in 4 minutes on TV. You go down the list of the group and, you know, adding Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe, if they ever do that, isn't going to help things. Those guys are losers. You know, you go down the list and you try and find the guys that can be those legitimate in-ring threats for Aces and Eights, and they're not there right now. D-Von? No one is taking D-Von all that seriously because he's D-Von. You know, we've seen him do this thing for so long, and it's not like he's coming out of the gates to reinvent himself the way that Bully Ray did, where, you know, Bully Ray is infinitely better as a character than Bubba Ray, and he's been around for a much shorter amount of time. TNA, guys. TNA. Just kind of, you know, they filled half the need. And that's where I don't really like the Taz reveal. And I don't really enjoy what TNA did here for that reason. Like I said, the beatdown was cool. It really was. Aces and Eights came out of nowhere and just swarmed the ring. It was neat. Like, that's a cool visual. Something that I haven't seen in either wrestling promotion before. Like, a legit swarm like that. But where does it lead? You know, where are we next week? That I think we're in almost the exact same place, only Aces and Eights might cut a better promo. That's basically it. So that's going to wrap it up for me talking about Impact this week. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for listening to the All Access Podcast. If you, if you're listening in iTunes and you want to hit us up with a review, that would be sweet. Or if you're not and you want to go to iTunes and hit us up with a review, that would also be sweet. If you are, you know, if you're a fan of this, I really urge you, if you're a fan of these audios, listen to the ProWrestling.net members audio. Give it a shot. It's Royal Rumble season, guys. It's not going to get better than, you know, it's Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. The next 3 months, 3-4 months are going to be really good. And I know all of the guys at the site step it up around this time of year. Not to say we don't try hard all year, but, you know, much like everyone in wrestling, it's kind of like, this is it. I know I'm getting the best wrestling product that I'm going to get all year right now. We know that, and we all work really hard to step it up and provide a good product for all of you guys around this time of year, too. So there is no better time to try out .NET membership. Give it a shot. We think you're really going to like it. You know, how bad would it be if I was just like, I think you're going to hate it. Try it anyways, jerk. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Have a great, fun weekend. 3-day weekend, y'all. Got a holiday. And yeah, thank you very much.